Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, good morning to you. Thank you guys for braving the elements. You probably were stir crazy and couldn't wait to get out of your house, and you used church as an excuse. But no matter, I'm excited that you're here today, and we got the heat working, and you guys are doing awesome. Excited for you to be here. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at Next Level Church, and one thing that we really value is helping you take the talk or the sermon to the next level. And we want you to be able to engage a little bit more with what's about to happen. And the way that we do that is through a free app called YouVersion. If you're a regular attender, you've heard this a bunch. If you're new, though, I want to make sure that you take advantage of this. It is a free app that you can download from whatever mobile device you have. You can even bring a tablet to church. It is called YouVersion or the Bible. You can find it in there. And on YouVersion, there's a live tab that has some notes that you can take. It has a question of the week that you can answer. There's a way for you to give prayer requests for us back. There's a giving link. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there that you can take a part of that can help take this talk that you're about to hear to the next level. So I encourage you to, if you're a regular attender, go ahead and open that up. If you're new, feel free to download that and follow the steps up on the screen. A few years ago, I bought an album by the band David Crowder, and I don't know if you're familiar with David Crowder or not. He sings the last song that we just sang, Here's My Heart. He's the one that wrote that and sings that. He sings a song that we do a lot around here called I Am, and this was years and years ago. I bought one of his albums, and I don't know if you've been listening to him for years or if you've never heard him before, but this album that he came out with, it started out with a song, and the very first song said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Now, I don't know if he wrote the song, if it was a cover song, but I remember really enjoying that. I thought it was a great way to kick off an album. It was a thought-provoking song. It was a quick song. It was an intro to the whole rest of his album. But that song lyric has stuck with me for years. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Now, I used to think that was a universal truth, that everybody really does want to go to heaven, but then I had kids, and my kids, this week, for some reason, it is almost a little bit freaky that we are kicking off a new series about heaven, and we have not talked to them about this series. They don't know what we're talking about here in big church, but for some reason, my kids this week have talked about heaven nonstop. And it started early on in the week. We'd put our kids to bed, and my son had already been laid down. We'd turned off all the lights. We'd said our prayers. He was tucked in, ready to go. My wife and I had gone back into the TV showroom, the room where our TV is, to sit down and watch some TV when I heard tears and I heard my name, Daddy. So I get up and I go back into his room and I walk in. I say, hey, buddy, what is going on? What's wrong? And he says, I don't want to go to heaven. And he's just like sobbing, like these tears. And I'm like, oh, buddy, like, oh, you don't have to worry about heaven. Like, what is going on? You don't have to worry about that. Like, what's got you thinking about that? And I don't know. I just don't want to go to heaven. And I said, well, hey, buddy, why don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, because I'll miss you. If that doesn't melt your heart, you're dead inside. I mean, it was just all the feels just welled up inside of me. It was like, oh. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, does he know something that I don't know? What does he mean he's going to miss me when he gets to heaven? What's going on here with this guy? After I was able to kind of process things and settle him down, I said, hey, listen, buddy, heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be so great. Mommy and Daddy are going to be there. You won't miss us at all. And Jesus will be there, and heaven is going to be so awesome. And so I calmed him down and laid him down. And then I went into the other room, and I started analyzing what was going on. And I think that he does have some serious concerns about heaven, but I think even more, he was trying to have a stalling tactic so he didn't have to go to sleep. And your kids may ask for a drink of water when they're trying to stall. My kids talk theology. They think if we can bring up heaven or the Bible, then we'll be able to stay up a little bit longer and be able to discuss things. But I really do think, though, most people want to go to heaven, but none of us want to die. And I think the reason is because we have a misunderstanding, a misrepresentation, a mispicture of what heaven is really like. If you think about our culture and you think about the things that have historically pictured heaven, it has been something that we're all like, okay, that might be better than the alternative. I kind of get maybe that's a nice place to go, but I don't want to go there right now. Why? Why don't we want to go to heaven right now? It's because every picture we see of heaven is nothing but white. It is white everything. Everything is white, and everyone is walking around in a muumuu, a white muumuu, a nightgown. There's no pants in heaven. It is just a long, flowing gown of whiteness. And they have wings, but they don't use their wings. No one flies in heaven. Have you ever noticed that when you watch it on a TV show or a movie? It's like such a waste of wings. Why are they walking when they have wings? And what is their music of choice in heaven? What instrument do they play every time you see heaven depicted? What is it?
Harp.
How awful is that? A harp. And so most of us, when we think about it, we say, okay, the alternative to heaven, that's pretty bad. I don't want to go there. So yeah, I guess I'll go to heaven one day, but I don't want to die. I don't want to get there. And that picture of heaven, that boring white picture with harps and wings that no one uses, to me, that sounds a lot more like hell than heaven. That does not sound like a place that I want to go to. And that is the picture that most of us have of this place where Christians spend eternity. But I think that most of us have missed what heaven is really about. In fact, I think that our culture has distorted a picture of heaven. And I think most of us, because we don't truly understand what heaven is going to look like, we've missed what Jesus has actually called us to do with heaven. I want to show you this in a text. It is a famous prayer. It may be the most famous prayer ever said. Maybe you've said this. Maybe you have this hanging on a wall somewhere in your house. But I'm betting that most of us are familiar with this prayer. It is a prayer from Jesus. And I want to show you what Jesus says. It's in Matthew 6, 9 through 10. He says, "This then is how you should pray." So Jesus was asked, "Hey, how do we pray? Teach us to pray." And this is what he says. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on what? As it is where? In heaven. On earth as it is in heaven." Jesus' prayer that we are to pray, that we are to ask for, is that God would bring his will, the way that it is in heaven, that he would bring it down here on earth. That we would get to experience some of heaven before we get to heaven. That we would be able to experience the goodness of heaven here on earth. And if you're a Christian here today, then you are called to bring heaven to earth. You are called to give people a glimpse of heaven so that when people think about heaven, they don't just say, that's a boring place that I may get to go to one day if I die, when I die. That people are saying, I'm experiencing such amazingness on earth. It is giving me a taste of the afterlife. It is giving me a taste of what is to come. That is what Christians are called to. And in this series that we're kicking off today, Is Heaven For Real? What we're going to do is we're going to look at what heaven is. We're going to look at the best of our ability. We're going to look at some texts that talk about heaven. And we're going to try to wrap our minds around heaven. And we're going to try to understand what heaven is all about. And ultimately, though, the goal is not just to get us excited about what happens when we die. Ultimately, the goal is that we can fulfill what Jesus told us to do. That we can bring heaven to earth. And most of us in here can't bring heaven to earth if we don't have a fat clue what heaven is like. And so we're going to look at what heaven is like, and we're actually going to start at a potentially unique place. We're going to start at the very beginning of the Bible, a place that most people don't think about when they talk about heaven, but we're going to look at the very, very beginning. The very first book of the Bible is called Genesis, and Genesis is the Greek word for beginning. Now, you may not know this or not, but the Bible was not originally written in English. It was the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament, which is the part with Jesus and after, was written in Greek. But most of our translations were influenced by the Greek mindset, by the Greek understanding of things. And so the names of our books of the Bible were inspired by Greek. And the first book of the Bible is Genesis. In the Greek, it literally means beginning. Jesus, though, was not Greek. Jesus was a Hebrew. Jesus was a Jew. And in the Hebrew, the word for Genesis is Bereshith, and it actually means in the beginning. The very first words of Genesis are in the beginning, and Jesus would have referred to this book about the beginning as Bereshith, which is simply Genesis. It is the beginning. And so we're going to dive into the beginning and look at what this has to do with heaven. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. The scriptures are going to come up on the screen, or you can also follow along in YouVersion. It says, "This is the account of the what?
Heavens."
Heavens and the what?
Earth.
"When they were created, when the Lord God made the what?
Earth.
And the what?
Heavens."
So the very beginning, when you go back to in the beginning, when you go to the creation account, one thing that you see from the very beginning is that heaven and earth were connected. There wasn't this huge separation between the two, that God created the heavens and he created the earth. And humans were supposed to be able to experience both earth and heaven in unison in one. Now, something that gets a little bit confusing that you need to go to seminary or do some serious studying to understand is that there are actually multiple words for heaven, especially when you get to the Old Testament. If you ever read through the Old Testament, very often the number one word that they use for heaven doesn't mean heaven, the place where God is reigning. It means heaven, the skies, the heavens. Another word that they would use would be the stars or the sun or the moon or the clouds that you can see. That is the heavens. And when God created things, when he started this whole process off, he combined the heavens, the sky, the vast universe, the things that we can see up above us, and the earth. And this is why most people, when they think about dying and going to heaven, which way do they think that they go? Up. Right? Isn't that pretty common thought? when typically in the cartoons, when someone dies, their spirit goes which way? Up. Okay, still, there's still some confusion in the back here. Up is the answer, survey says, that we're looking for. Up. And this is why, because when they talked about the heavens, it was a place that they looked up to. It was, when I look up into the heavens, when I look to the sky, there you are, God. It is the heavens. Now, something that gets really confusing is that when you read through the entire Bible and you look at the different words for heavens, Paul actually introduces that there's this idea of levels of heaven, and this gets really confusing. Paul talked about that where there's a third level of heaven, and the third level of heaven is where God is. It's where his throne is. It's where he is present. It's where we can't see him. So we can keep sending satellites out into the heavens, into space, and we're never going to run into God because he's in this third area that we cannot see. But the point of this original text is that God was inventing, was creating the heavens and the earth, and he was putting them together, and they were not separated, but they were one. Look what happens next. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, depending on your upbringing, depending on if you grew up in church or not, this story is either very normal and very familiar, or it's very weird. If you grew up in church like I did, you don't question this story. You just think, oh yeah, that's it. There was people walking around naked, and God talked to them, and there was a serpent, and there was a tree. It might have involved an apple, and that's just normal to you. If you did not grow up in a church, if you're new to the church, you're like, huh? I didn't learn about this in biology class. This seems a little strange. And for many people, especially those who grew up in church and then went away from the church for a while, this is one of those stories that they question hardcore, and they have a ton of questions. And me, as I've grown up and become older, I have questions about this story. I have questions that this story wasn't meant to answer. And today, we're not going to get into everyone's answer. We're not going to get into a debate. We're not going to try to prove or disprove. We're not going to try to even figure this text out. We're going to take this text for what it is. This is a picture of what God's plan was for us. And you'll notice that God created the heavens, and he created the earth, and he created man, and he put him in what? He put him in Eden. It was a paradise. It was a place where there was no suffering, there was no tears. There were no weeds, there was no poison ivy, there was no poison oak, there were no mosquitoes. This is the only place I would ever want to go camping. Eden, paradise. Some of you are huge fans of camping. I can't stand camping. There is no air conditioning, there is no heat, there are bugs left and right, the ground is uncomfortable. I don't know why you would want to waste vacation days pretending to be a homeless person. Personally, that's just my opinion. Some of you love, are passionate about camping, and I hope that we can agree to disagree and still be friends. Camping, personally, to me, though, reminds me of the fall of man, that now today, even in the beauty of camping, when you sit out in creation and you enjoy God's creation, you're reminded that something is off. Something has been broken. You don't go camping without bug spray. You don't go camping without a sleeping bag. You don't go camping without preparing. Why? Because something has happened. Something has been broken. And I want to show you what happened. It came in the text we just read. Let's read it again. God says to Adam, the very first man, he says, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, based off this text, most of us would think that God's response to Adam would be, hey, Adam, listen, there's this tree. It's the knowledge of good and evil. You should not eat from it. And if you eat from it, you will die. And that's a great thing. Because when you die, you'll get to go to where? Heaven. But did you notice that God did not prep it that way? He didn't present it as a great thing. He said, there is this tree in this garden. It is the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat from this tree, what's going to happen to you, Adam? You're going to what? Die. And this was not a joyous thing. This wasn't like, woohoo, yes, we get to go to heaven and be with God. Let's eat from that tree, Eve. We got to get there quicker. No, this was against God's plan. This was not the original plan for man to leave earth and to get to heaven. God's original plan was that the heavens and the earth were connected and that man could have a relationship with God, and there was no separation, there was no awkwardness, there were no questions that were making us wonder if God really exists, because he was in our presence, he was walking with us. And Adam, we know the story, most of us are familiar with it. Adam and Eve, they ate this tree, they ate the fruit from the tree. And the second that they ate from it, they started to die. But it wasn't an instant death. They didn't just drop dead and stop what they were doing. It was a slow, painful death. They went from living life to dying. They went from experiencing the amazingness of creation to suffering. I want to show you what happens next in the text. Let's keep reading. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Did you catch what has happened? This is a picture of what's happened with creation, that he was in paradise. He was in perfection. He was in an amazing place where work was enjoyable, and it didn't wear him out. He was in a place where there were no weeds, there were no mosquitoes, there were no broken hearts, and he chose to sin, and his sin led to some consequences. And what was paradise, what was heaven on earth, was now hell. What was life-giving was now life-taking. What was amazing was now filled with pain. And look out how the creation story ends. Genesis 3, 21 through 24, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Why? Why did God have to make clothes for them? Because all of a sudden, when they sinned, shame entered the world. They did not know they were naked until this point. And they felt shame, and they felt insecurity, and they felt like they had to hide something. Why? Because what was heaven on earth has now brought them shame because they sinned. Keep reading. It says, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way, to the tree of life. Now, I don't know if you're keeping up with this story, if you're keeping up with what's happening, but imagine how different our world would be if God hadn't shut down Eden. God said that this place is such a place of perfection. This place has a place that they can experience life and live forever. And if we don't do something, if we don't close the gates to Eden, then they're going to get there. And there has to be a consequence to their sin. There has to be a consequence to their action. And so he kicked them out of Eden. And now man is experiencing death. He's experiencing death all around him. Every single person that is born is going to die. Every single person that we know is not going to be here in 100 years. And some of us in this room have experienced the fall of man in a way too real way. We've experienced it through cancer. We've experienced it through death. We've experienced it through jobs that we lose our mind over that are so boring. God's original intent was that we would find purpose and fulfillment through our jobs. And some of us are bored to tears. Other of us have had dream jobs, and yet we got fired. And we felt the hell of earth on this earth after we got fired. And we've experienced how this earth is dying. It is crumbling. It's falling apart all around us. But God, because God is so good, he didn't just say, I'm going to kick them out of Eden, I'm going to kick them out of paradise, and let them suffer and experience hell on earth. He came up with a plan, a way for them to experience paradise. Now, this is something that I found in my study this week that I thought was incredibly fascinating. So much of the Bible is what we call the Old Testament and is written in Hebrew and is from a Jewish mindset. And so often, us Americans, we focus on the New Testament and on the Greek way of thinking, and we don't think to ask questions about who these people were, the Jews, what was their mindset, because Jesus was Jewish, and when he thought of things, he would have thought of it from a Hebrew mindset. And I found something incredibly interesting in my study. The place of spiritual reward, i.e. heaven, for the righteous in the Jewish, in the Hebrew world, is the word, this is incredible, Gan Eden, which literally translated the Garden of Eden. So the original plan was that man was to live in the Garden of Eden, but Adam messed that up. Sin entered the world. But Jesus had a new plan. The Messiah was going to allow us to experience this paradise, which the Jews called the Garden of Eden. That ultimately this life is not meant for just experiencing hell on earth, but is it meant to go back to the beginning. And what is the beginning? It is Eden. It's experiencing paradise. And this is not the same place where Adam and Eve were. It is a place of spiritual perfection. Specific descriptions of this Gan Eden vary widely from one source to another. Some sources compare the bliss of the afterlife to the joy of sex or the warmth of a sunny day. Ultimately, though, the living can no more understand the nature of this place than the blind can understand color. The Hebrews had this idea that there was this paradise, there was this new Eden, and it was so amazing that we only get glimpses of it here on earth. And we get glimpses on it in things that we really enjoy. When we have a sunny day and we're like, man, the humidity has not kicked in yet in Virginia. This is a perfect sunny day. That is a glimpse of heaven. And when we experience a love relationship gone right and it involves intimacy, that is a picture of heaven. It is a glimpse of heaven. And the idea was is that we were supposed to experience heaven, Eden, on earth, but we messed it up. And so Jesus gave us a plan. He gave us a way to experience Eden in heaven. But until we get there, we are allowed to experience some of the joys of heaven here on earth. So when you do something like you go and enjoy a roller coaster, guess what? That is heaven on earth. When you have an incredible meal with someone, and you enjoy true community where you laugh and you hang out and you're not embarrassed to be yourself. Guess what that is? That is heaven on earth. Now, ultimately, the plan all along is for us to experience heaven, a piece of heaven. It is Eden. And we messed it up. But God, because he's so good, because he loves us, he's allowing us to experience heaven, not just in a future, not just one day when you get old, when you die. We're allowed to experience heaven here. Now, this idea of heaven, I hope you're starting to see it, is way different than just this white, boring place with harps. In fact, Jesus, when he talked about it, he used a word that I think we can all relate to. He used a word that I think every single one of us can instantly say, oh yeah, I can picture that place. I can't really fathom heaven. I can't really fathom what that's going to be like, but I can fathom what Jesus said about it. Let's look at Jesus' life. This is one of the last things that he said before he died on the cross. It's going to come from Luke 23, 39 through 43. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in what? Paradise. You notice the word that Jesus used. It was not heaven, it was paradise. Today you will be with me because of your faith in me, because of your actions, you will be with me in paradise. I love what the Strong's Concordance says. And if you've never preached a sermon, I'll just give you a little insight. There are concordances, there are books that people have done lots of study that we often go to help us get some more insight, to dig a little bit deeper. And the Strong's Concordance has some amazing insight. I want to read it to you. It says, Jesus declared, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The word Jesus used for paradise is paradisos, which means a park. That is specifically, listen to this, an Eden, a place of future happiness, paradise. Paradisos is the Greek word taken from the Hebrew word pardes, which means a park, a forest, an orchard. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, hey, because of your faith in me, today you will be in where? Eden, paradise. And every single one of us, when we've been going through a difficult time, have dreamed of going to paradise. We've dreamed, if I could just get to the vacation, if I could just save up and go on that cruise, we can picture what paradise is like. We can picture what amazing paradise is like. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you can experience paradise. I know Adam and Eve messed it up for the rest of us, and if they didn't, you would have. Someone would have messed it up. We've now experienced hell on earth, and we've all experienced it. But the point is not just that we look up and say, hey, there's this white, boring place called heaven that I don't want to go to, but if I die and I have to go to someplace, I'm going to choose that place. No, this is a place of paradise. And everything amazing that you've ever enjoyed on this earth, you can experience in this paradise. The problem, though, is that Christians have taken in a little bit of an understanding of this paradise, of this heaven, and we've become satisfied with it. And we say, okay, well, if I've got my ticket to paradise, I don't have to worry about anyone else. And we've taken paradise and we've forgotten to share it with other people, people that are going through difficulties, people that are going through living hell on earth. I want to show you, though, something that I think has the potential to blow some of your minds, because so many of us have just had this picture that heaven is our eternal resting place, that when we die, if you have faith in Jesus, if you know Jesus, that you'll go to heaven and that's where you'll spend eternity. But that is not God's plan. God's plan is not for you to be in eternity in heaven forever. I want to show you God's plan, and it is crazy how they bookend this. We read the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. We're now going to read the end of the Bible in the book called Revelation. Look at it with me. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of what? Heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Did you catch how the Bible ends? The Bible ends with God saying, I'm going to ultimately right this wrong. Adam and Eve messed up Eden. They messed up paradise. They got kicked out of it. And now they experience a part of paradise when they enjoy life, when they enjoy the good things on earth. But every single one of us has also experienced hell on earth. But because God loves us, he gave us a way to bridge the gap. He sent his son to die for us. And through faith in him, we can experience a new Eden, which is in heaven. But ultimately, heaven is not God's plan for us. Ultimately, God's going to wipe the slate clean. He's going to destroy this broken earth. He's going to destroy the broken heavens, and he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and he's going to plant us back on here. And now, look where the separation is. There is no separation between heaven and earth anymore. We will be able to walk with God and experience God's presence and talk to him and hear him like it was originally intended. God's ultimate plan has always been from the very beginning to bring heaven to earth. That's God's plan. And for your life, you are not meant to just sit around and wait for one day when you get to heaven. If you are a Christian today, you are called to bring heaven to earth. And this heaven is a piece of paradise. So I want to try to make this practical for you today. If you're going through a great week, if you've had an incredible week, if you've had an awesome week, your role, if you're a Christian today, is that you are to take the awesomeness, the heaven that you've experienced, and you are to share that with others. And you are to go find someone who is living through hell, and you are to help them experience heaven on earth, because that is God's plan. And right now, until we die and get to heaven, and then eventually get to this new earth where there's no crying, there's no tears, there's no cancer, there's no pain, until we get then, our calling is to bring heaven to earth. It is to go into the world. It is to help the people that are hurting. It is to help the people that are crying. It is to take enough time in our busy schedules to actually look out and see who is hurting. If you are a Christian today, how selfish is it to keep paradise to yourself? If you've experienced a great day, if you've experienced the blessing of God, if you're financially sound, that is not just for your blessing. That is so that you can bring heaven to earth, not just for yourself and your family, but for others. If you've been blessed with good health, guess what? That good health is not just a blessing for you. It is not just so that you can experience heaven on earth. It is so that you can help others experience heaven on earth. How different would our world be if Christians took enough time to truly look at other people and experience life through their eyes and say, you know what, I can see right now, even if you're not a Christian, even if you can't put the words to it, right now you're experiencing the fall of man. You're experiencing hell on earth. And I just want to offer you a cup of water. I just want to offer you a hug. I just want to offer you a smile. I just want to offer you a piece of heaven on earth. How different would our experience at Walmart be if we viewed the world this way? How different would our experience with that checkout clerk who seemed miserable at their job? Why are they miserable at their job? Because they were created for so much more.
They were created to enjoy their work and to get a lot out of it and to find some meaning and purpose in it, but they're not. Now they're just working for a paycheck. And what if we took a few seconds to speak some life into their life and to cheer them up and to give them a piece of heaven? How different would their world be? How different would the world be of the kids that are literally going hungry around the world right now? Christians get worked up about the stupidest stuff on Facebook all the time. And I want Christians to start getting worked up about not whether or not hell exists, not whether or not heaven exists. I want to see Christians get worked up with the fact that right now there are people currently experiencing hell on earth, and we are called to bring heaven to them. 21 people died last week because of ISIS, because they were Christians. And yet the vast majority of us are concerned about the fact that it was cold outside. Do you see how broken we are? We get worked up about things that are just all about us, and yet God is screaming that he's given us good things. He's given us things to enjoy, not just for our enjoyment, to bring heaven to earth. And there are people who are experiencing hell left and right. And we are called to do what Jesus did. What did he do? Did he stay in heaven? Did he hang out in paradise? Did he say, hey, that world is too messed up? No, he left paradise. He left the new Eden, and he came down to earth, and he experienced our hell so that we could experience peace and joy and love. And today, if you are a Christian, that is what you're ultimately called to. So I want to give you some application today. The application is simply this. This week, bring a glimpse of heaven to one person who is going through hell. And maybe you get experienced more than one person, but hey, how different would our world be? There's 100-some people in here. How different would our world be if all of us just picked one person? And we said, this week, I'm going to do whatever I can to bring heaven to them. I'm going to go the extra mile. I know that you can't bring heaven to everybody. I know there's a lot of needs. I know you can't meet everybody's needs. But what if you just picked one person and you said, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to incredibly bless them. I'm going to let them know that God is real. And even though they can't hear God, and even though there feels like there's this separation, I'm going to bring heaven to them and say, hey, this is just from the love of God. I just wanted to show you that I care about you. Here's a blessing. So this is the challenge for you. The question is, are you going to do it? This is not one of those talks that you just nod your head and you say, hey, that was decent. I was entertained. This is your part. This is what you have to do. This week, bring a glimpse of heaven to one person who is going through hell. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for bringing heaven to us. And God, we are a fallen, broken people, and every single one of us in this room has experienced imperfection. We've all experienced the brokenness of this world. We've experienced loved ones that have died. We've experienced the pain and hurt of living in a world that has hell in it. And God, right now, I just ask that you would open our eyes, that we would be thinking about and seeing people who need you, who need to experience paradise, God. Maybe we can't fathom heaven because we've never experienced heaven on earth. And I ask God today that you would put names on our hearts. Right now, I ask you to sweep across this room and that you would put names of people we know that we could be a blessing. And God, I ask that you would give us moments and times and help us to carve out time and help us to not be selfish with our money, but to give. Help us to make a difference in this world. I ask God in Jesus' name that our world would be changed until you take us back, until we can experience the new Eden, until we can experience heaven, God. Help us to help others experience heaven on earth. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in our church and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.